Warning, this is the Freedom Fiends midweek non-radio podcast. Unlike our weekend live talk radio shows, where we adhere to all regulations and community standards, this cast may contain cussing and or prurient subject matter. If you are easily offended, please leave now. But tune in Saturdays and Sundays to our live talk radio show. If you're not easily offended, prepare to be entertained, informed, and enlightened.
This is the Central Scrutinizer. We're working very hard to spend your tax money to keep you from hearing things like freedomfiends.com.
All right. Yeah. Nima.
What's up?
How you doing? What's up?
I'm good. You?
I'm good. I'm hella good, man. I'm so
How good.
I'm so really good. I'm really, really good. Yeah.
Okay.
I think I'm really good. Yeah.
Isn't there a word for really good? Like great.
Outstanding.
Fantastic. Superb.
Outstanding, like sir. Excellent shooting.
And you?
I don't know. I'm quoting from movies. Outstanding, sir. Excellent shooting. It just sounds like something you'd say in the Army. When you're carrying a machine gun for Uncle Sam. Yeah.
I don't carry nothing for my uncles.
Well, for your
Especially
real uncles.
Not Uncle Sam.
Maybe your real uncles once in a while.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. If they feed me some good lamb kebab.
Man, we sent you so much vape today, priority mail.
So you guys are like, I won the Fiend contest and got a year's worth of vape.
Yep. And something else too. What else did you get?
Printer. Yes.
Did you get it? Yeah, you got the paper. Talk about how the paper arrived before.
I got the printer too. No, the paper came before the printer, and my wife was like, "You got a box. It's really heavy. What is it? What is it?" I was like, "It's paper." She goes, "Oh."
Well, you know,
she was not excited about the 1,000 sheets of paper you sent.
In days of yore, paper was a gift. It was the gift for like first or fifth year anniversary or something, because paper was really
expensive.
First
year. It still is. It's still the traditional gift for your first year anniversary.
And
I gave my wife a paper gift for our first year.
When was
she gave me one too.
When was your first anniversary?
Are
you at your second yet?
No, our second will be
then the paper is your first anniversary gift. And the printer is your baby's coming gift.
So you can send out a newsletter. Maybe it will be. No, it will be my third this coming November. So I forgot what we did
you
for
don't
second.
Know. You don't know for, how long you've been married.
First year. I wrote my wife in fancy calligraphy a list of things I was thankful for her on paper, and she bought me that book by Jay-Z, Decoded, which was pretty good. I didn't finish it, but what I read of it was pretty good. So
yeah,
but yeah, and I got a printer, and thank you, I do appreciate that, Mr. Dean.
Yeah, you're welcome. You're welcome. And the printer is so you don't have to use N-word technology anymore.
Ah, that's racist.
Well, it's a reference to a show we like made by a black person.
Which is great. Yeah. Boondocks, yes. But to the uninitiated, that's why you said it on a Wednesday show instead of on a radio show.
Yep.
But you see, I always had things that plugged into printers. I've always
you just never had a printer to plug.
I just never had a printer to plug them into.
Well,
we did for a little bit, but I figured the cheap color printers, they're so scammy, man.
I know.
Because we would put them on black and white, so we wouldn't use up all the color. But the way it creates black is by mixing all of the colors together. So then you still got to buy, you know, $50-$60 worth of cartridges every week or so.
Yeah. So I just did for you what I do for me, which is do it the smart way, which is have a industrial strength black and white only printer that gets cartridges that print like 4,500 pages or something.
Yeah. Colors for pussies.
Colors for people who think they're creative, man. I mean, really creative people like need a black and white printer, you know? Well, you know, also like what do you and I print? We're writers. We come up with concepts. Concepts only need to be black and white, man. Outlines. I mean, it's all about the story.
I save my color for the internet. How's that?
There you go. You know, the auteur theory of filmmaking, which is the French idea that the director is the whole movie and everybody else is just his puppets and doesn't matter. And then there's the Scribner theory.
That would be the French theory, wouldn't it?
I know. Then there's the Scribner theory. And even though I'm a director and a writer, I like the Scribner theory better, which is that the screenwriter is the most important part. And, you know, it's kind of true in this way, in there are direct, and I can't really think of good examples. Maybe you could help me with this. But if you were to pick a great director or a great actor or a great screenwriter and, you know, watch 10 movies by the great director, 10 movies by the great screenwriter, and 10 movies by the great actor, you would have a more consistently good experience with the 10 movies by the great screenwriter. Because every great actor has done some dogs and clunkers, and pretty much every great director has. But screenwriters that
are these a random sampling of 10, yeah, or are these the 10 greatest works? If it was a random sampling, I'd probably
a random sampling. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep. So did you hang up your show clock yet?
No, but it's a Wednesday show. There is no clock.
Okay.
I can do it right now live or not.
I think you should.
I can do it right now recorded.
Yes. No, yes. No. You're going to hang it up right now? Yeah, that's what I want. Because I'm going to yell at you.
Rant.
I'm going to yell at you while you did it. You didn't have the show clock up. I told you last Friday to put it up, and you didn't have it on Saturday. And then I told you to put it up Saturday after the show, and you didn't put it up. And this is a teaching hospital, so I can say this. I was insanely irked at you. I was fuming for hours after the Sunday show because you didn't have the show clock, and on Saturday, you messed up a couple times for it because of it. And on Sunday, you messed up because of it. And, you know, like you asked a really long, rambling question of our guest, of our rock star level libertarian guest. And I'm looking at the show clock. I'm just going like, okay, he's got 2 minutes and he's starting a question, you know, 2 minutes till an ad break. And your question was like a minute and a half long. And then it was like, it was a question that would require several minutes of answer. And I'm just like, man, he blew it. He didn't have a show clock. Now, for those who don't know, a show clock is a piece of paper with a pie chart on it that tells you how the hour is divided up and where the ads show up. And if I had moved to a new house, the first thing I would do is put up blankets, which Nima did. And there's going to be an article that I wrote about that with Nima's help in the tomorrow or the next day's Talkers magazine. And the editor of Talker magazine said he loves my writing, by the way, today. That was very cool. And Nina's great. But, you know, the second thing I would do if I moved to a new place is I would put out my show clock and my atomic clock. Do you have your atomic clock out, Nima?
Yeah, I have the atomic clock.
Okay.
I was keeping an eye on it. I know some of the breaks I know by heart, and I don't need to look at show clock. So it was my hubris. It was a Greek tragedy. It was my
That's
hubris.
That's what I've been ranting about for 10
that,
minutes.
That I could memorize them all, but there's the two longer segments. I don't have 100% memorized when they end, and that's what I flubbed.
Did you get it out? You unpack it?
I'm unpacking it.
Here's my thought. I have compared Nima's role in the Freedom Fiends kind of to Natalie Merchant's role in the 10,000 Maniacs, because I used to go see them play in clubs, and the band was great. Natalie was great, but the band did all the work, and they booked all the shows, and they hauled the gear, and did the newsletter and all that, a couple guys from the band. And Natalie, you know, the band would get there at 7 p.m., shuck all this heavy equipment into the club, do a sound check without Natalie, go get dinner, come back. Natalie would show up at like 10 o'clock to a packed house with the band sitting there waiting for hours. And she would literally pull an SM57 microphone out of her purse, put it on a mic stand that had a cable waiting for her in it, do the set, be amazing, and then put her microphone back in her purse and leave the band to haul the equipment back out and deal with everything else. And I have consigned myself to the fact that Nima Vedati is the Natalie Merchant of the Freedom Fiends, and I'm okay with that more or less. But you know what, Nima? Are you there, Nima?
Yeah, there's no show clock in here.
You have a printer.
I do, and I actually saved it from my last setup, so I'll find it
yep.
that way.
So Nima lost the show clock. Now let me finish my rant here.
Lost it? You said you sent it to me. It's not in this box.
I didn't send it to you in this box. I sent it to you months ago. You were supposed to bring it from your old house.
I did. I thought you were waiting on me to get the new box because you printed out a show clock and put it in. Isn't that what this whole thing was about?
No. You said it was still packed. That's what I thought you were looking through, not the box I just sent you.
Oh.
Not one of the many boxes I take time to lovingly pack up and send to you. It was in one of the boxes I lovingly packed up and sent to you like 4 months ago. Because you didn't actually, it was in an envelope.
Fuck.
But let me finish my rant here, which is that Natalie Merchant just showed up and did the show and left, but she always had her set list and she never forgot the lyrics. And not having your show clock is the equivalent of either not having a set list or forgetting your lyrics. Okay, why don't you come back and do a show and you can look for the show clock later. It would have been cute if you'd been able to pull it out and say, I have it, neener, 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 as he's still looking for it. So, yeah, I want to talk about a few things today other than Nima not having the show clock. And one of them is the funny phone calls I got today. I got 4 phone calls on my cell phone today, which is about, nobody has the number. So it's like four messages is more than I get in a year on that phone. And it was 3 phone calls of some little kid, like a little boy, like 7 years old, probably, just ranting. I couldn't understand a thing he said. It was just, and then there was a 4th phone call that was a little girl who sounded probably 10 or 11 who said, hi, my little brother steals my phone and makes crank phone calls sometimes. And I'm very sorry, and I hope it wasn't a bother for you. It won't happen again. Thank you. And then she hung up. I thought that was awesome.
At least she was nice about it. That was very nice of her.
Yep.
Yeah, my dog ate my show clock. That's my final answer.
All right. Are you going to have one by Sunday?
Yes, I will.
But you know that you can't just print it from the PDF. You have to put in where our ads actually come in. I can help you with that if I must.
Okay. Yes. You must.
Ugh. The dog ate your show clock. So, yeah. So
literally, no, somebody put him in this cage. His new cage, or his old cage, is in my new room. And he will, if anything's within a certain radius, he will grab it and tear it to shreds. And he grabbed my suitcase, which was full of everything that was on my wall in the office. He ate my diploma, too, or my degree. He ate everything. So, I mean, some of it's kind of salvageable. I thought the show clock was, but apparently it's in his digestive system, hopefully still giving him a tummy ache.
I want you to wait for it to pass and do that on the show. And you're the guy that sent me the joke website, the website the other day about how dogs are so much better than cats. Man, my cat has never eaten my show clock.
Eating your show clock?
He does try
no,
to.
No, but your cats would press the buttons on the mixer. I know. And I know. You wouldn't be able to do the show. Oh my God, what button did damn cat press?
I don't know if you heard the finality, the moral of my story, but the moral was, I don't care if you act like Natalie Merchant and just show up with your mic and pull it out of your purse and do great and then put it back in your purse and leave and let me do everything else all week. But at least Natalie Merchant never forgot the lyrics and always had the set list. And not having a show clock is like forgetting the lyrics or not having the set list.
Yes. Well, I don't know, man. I need to do more. You're right. You're right. You're right. On all counts.
Well, I think
it's hard when you work 68 hours a week attics sweating your ass off. So
I know.
Cut me a little slack until I can quit this job.
Hey, man. Einstein came up with the theory of relativity while working full time at the patent office.
Yes, but that's like mind-numbing in a good way.
I think you should set up the printer during the show, and then we can print the show clock, and I can tell you where the markers are.
I'm done doing things like that.
No, man, it was awesome.
Let's
it was like the best show ever. Okay. Well, if you don't have it on Sunday, I'm not going to let you talk.
Okay. Fair enough.
All you get to do on Saturday and Sunday, if you don't have the show clock, is just go, yeah, to my brilliance.
Okay. That's a deal.
See, the thing is, I'm trying to get Talkers Magazine to write an article about our show. And if he goes, I can't go tell him to check it out if I'm not sure you're going to have your show clock. If he listens to that and you're like asking, you know, if you do what you do when you don't have a show clock, he's going to be like, you guys aren't ready. Why did you bug me with this?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I get it, man. It's cool. Right. I got to get a show clock.
So you and I were talking about gravity bongs yesterday. You were telling me about the day you hit bottom and you said that you did a big hit on a gravity bong and passed out on some stranger's couch and woke up and saw the light and were sober ever since. How long ago was that?
February 2nd.
Yeah.
Almost 6 months. Yeah.
Right on. Right on. Yeah. Well, the Freedom Fiends buttons I sent you are your 6 month chips from me.
Yeah, because I don't have the time to go to a meeting. So.
Yeah, and the printer was your you've got a baby coming present, and the paper was your late first anniversary gift. And the cable,
you're so good to
and
me,
the
Michael.
USB cable was your second anniversary gift, and
what's second anniversary supposed to be? Cables?
Yes, USB cables. And USB cables? Your early birthday present is all the vape we sent you. We're going to send you also some VGPG to dilute that vape because you're not old enough for 24 milligram, man. You're not ready for that. You got to dilute that.
I'm not old enough.
You're not.
Yet. Right, right. You have to be this old to vape, apparently. To
ultra vape.
Ultra vape. That's it. Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
So, but there are two containers in there of DJ stuff. So this is the Freedom Fiends Wednesday show. We're basically, Neem and I just have a phone call, but record it in really high quality and share it with the world.
Of course.
So you
we
told
bug
me,
our own house. We remember the other day I was bugging my own house with you, and I didn't know you were listening. We use Audio Compass, which is how we connect. It's why we sound like we're in the same room. And apparently, I forgot to close mine out the last time we did a show. And I had my computer set up. I was actually practicing for my DJ tryout, and so Michael starts pigeoning me, saying, "I can hear you breathing." And I was like, what do you mean? That's creepy, dude. You're creeping me out. I don't even have my
microphone
on.
You're acting like the NSA.
Yeah, yeah. And it was you were hearing me through the internal mic, humming along and hitting the crossfader like a douche. And so remember to turn your compass off unless you want your partner to hear you DJing or humming. Or thank God I wasn't doing the other things I use my computer for, and you heard that.
I'm glad I didn't hear that. But I did actually one time, and I didn't even really spy on you. I immediately told you it so you could, you know, turn it off. Mm-hmm. But one time you butt dialed me, and it was not that. It was like right after you moved away from here. I didn't even know you that well yet, and we just finished talking and you hung up and then you butt dialed me and I could hear you and your wife talking. I listened for a while. I wanted to see what you guys said about me behind my back, but you talked about me. You were talking about me and it wasn't bad. So it was good for you.
Good for me. Was it good for you?
It's good for you.
Oh
yeah. Cause I'd drone you, man. I'm like the government.
Oh, remember? Would you?
Well, you know, something came out today that they have some new way of spying. There's new information from Greenwald, from Snowden, that, you know, there's ways that they can spy on anything anywhere, which I don't really think that's news. So let's move on and talk about
it's confirmation, though. That's the news.
Well, it just proves that we weren't crazy. And, you know, what I've been saying
and
for years,
how great is that?
And everyone said, and now they're like, they're not even acknowledging that they were wrong in calling us all crazy for years. Now they're just saying, I don't care. It doesn't matter. Why do you care?
Yeah. It's okay for us to do because shut up, basically.
Yeah,
so
we want to talk about the Bearcat Buyback Awareness Program.
Bearcat Buyback.
Yeah, we're gonna do a Kickstarter to do public service announcements to teach people to not use condoms. It's the Bearcat Awareness Program. No, it's the Bearcat Buyback Awareness Program, which is. I know I said I'd never do a Kickstarter, and Kickstarter is just for scammers and people that can't do anything right. But then Cody Wilson showed me the light, and I was like, okay, but this is kind of not really making fun of Kickstarter. We're kind of making fun of like, fund anything. I'm doing a Kickstarter thing. It hasn't been approved yet, and I do want to talk about the incredibly intrusive process of applying for a Kickstarter account, but first thing I want to talk about is gravity bongs and how we came to the Bearcat.
We go through the process because we are a teaching.
Yeah,
we go through the process of creating a fake Kickstarter as a joke.
So come in with like a ... ellipsis with the last sentence you said to me about the night you hit bottom and then became sober. Go.
So you know what a gravity bong is, right?
No, I can picture it, but go on.
Okay. So a gravity bong is when you take like a milk carton and you cut out the bottom and you submerge it in a big tub of water, like a sink with the plugger in, you know, so it's full of water. And then you put a bowl in the top, you know, where the top would be, and you light it. And as you light it, you pull the milk carton up. So the vacuum created sucks up all that smoke and it's just dense, full of smoke. Then you take the bowl off, put your mouth over the hole and push it down. So it basically just shotguns all that smoke into your lungs.
Why is it called a gravity bong? I said.
Yes. And I said, I don't know, man. Should be called, stoners no. came
it
up sh- with it.
It should be called a displacement bong or a gravity bong or an Archimedes principle bong.
No. Right. A displacement bong would make more sense. Yes. Because the volume, you know, that you're displacing is what fills up with smoke. Well, and it's the vacuum that's created is that what sucks it in.
Archimedes principle states that the upward buoyant force exerted on a body immersed in a fluid, whether fully or partially submerged, is equal to the weight of the fluid of the body displaced. That the body displaces. Right.
Yeah, so that would more accurately describe what's going on with a gravity bong, according to Wikipedia, I assume.
Yeah, but, and then I said, man, people, you know, like, I guess stoners came up with it and said it wrong, but, you know, we really should, like, do some public awareness to get people to rename that as a displacement bong or an Archimedes principle bong. And then you said,
I was like, okay, man, that's a great idea. We should do it.
And you said public service announcements. And I said, we should do a Kickstarter to raise money to buy ad time on our own radio show to play those ads.
Yes.
And we kind of ran with that. And I said that jokingly to Mark and Ian from Free Talk Live last night by email. And this morning I woke up to glowing, raving emails from both of them saying, yes, do it. And that was after I'd started to do it. And then got it all like halfway done on Kickstarter and then said, this looks incredibly scammy. This looks like, you know, we're like some kind of internal payola. Like we're trying to buy our own
joke,
ad time.
Though.
That was the joke.
That was an angle but of the joke that was hilarious.
But I gave,
we're going to do a Kickstarter to buy ad time on our own radio show. How hilarious
but
is that?
But I gave up on it because I thought that nobody would get the joke or some people wouldn't get the joke and would think it was a scam. And I didn't want someone's first impression of the Freedom Fiends who hadn't heard of us to be, oh, these guys are begging to put ads. That's so weird, man. That's scammy. But
it's so weird though that it's absurd because that was the other part of the conversation is we wanted to do something that was very absurd.
Right. It wasn't absurd enough.
Humor is
it wasn't absurd right. enough. So after I woke up and had slept on it and had like halted my project halfway through starting it on Kickstarter. Ian and Mark just raved to me that I should do it, and it's a great idea. Because I forgot the other part was you and I said, well, we should do something other than a drug thing. We don't take drugs. Why right. do we care about what people call bongs? Let's do it to promote Mark Edge's Bear Cat Buyback Program. Which was, okay.
When I heard about this,
right.
I was like, that is the funniest thing I've ever heard Mark Edge say, because it's right. hilarious.
Mark's not, he, Mark's
instead
not
of a gun
that,
buyback program.
Mark's not that funny, oh, which isn't a bad thing. Mark's a great radio guy, but he's kind of the straight man to Ian. Ian's usually a little funnier. But Mark just came up with this thing that was like the funniest thing I've ever heard on Free Talk Live. He was saving it all up for this one thing, and he just, I don't even think he realized how funny it was, man. He said, inspired on the show a couple days ago, he said, inspired by gun buybacks, which is a ridiculous term because you can't buy back something you didn't own, but that he was going to and he didn't like these Bearcats, these armed police tanks that all that the government feds are buying, all
the
these
goonmobiles,
these small towns, yeah, the goonmobiles. So he went out and got he bought a $5 because usually they'll give you like a $100 Walmart gift card at a gun buyback right, for a right. gun. He went and bought a $5 Walmart gift card because it was the least amount you could spend and get a gift card there. And he said on Free Talk Live, he said, I'm having a Bearcat buyback program. And he has a picture of him with a sign that says it. He said, bring me a Bearcat. I don't care where you get it. And you'll get this $5 gift certificate from Walmart. So I tweaked it a little. I didn't say, I don't care where you get it, because first of all, I want to cover my ass and don't want to do anything illegal. Second of all, to get Kickstarter to approve your begging for funding on there, you have to, be legal. And so I made it illegal. Right, I made it legal. Right. And you have to produce an actual thing. So I want you to read.
That's a really silly restriction, well, I feel like, in this day and age, especially with Kickstarter being only possible through the modern internet, which is about producing things that are in the ether that you can watch and that people put real production into,
yeah.
but aren't physical things that exist. They're things that exist in zeros and ones. It's silly.
So I want to read what I wrote, and then I'm going to read about. Then I'm going to have Nima read what I wrote, and then I'm going to tell you what it takes to start a Kickstarter fund and why I felt so violated. I wanted to add another $500 to this funding to put in my pocket as compensation for the anal e-rape that I had to go through. And then we'll talk about.
I think that's a website, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, you know, basically the premise of all of this is that, you know, Silk Road should start their own sort of Kickstarter or something, because Kickstarter is really square.
There you
but
go.
You also have to actually produce a physical thing. You can't just say, I want money to fund this buyback. You have to produce an object for Kickstarter. So, what we're producing is, if this gets funded for $950, we're going to produce, Mark and I, or Mark and Nima and I, or in Mark and I and anyone else who wants to be involved, who's probably, you know, probably us and our co-hosts, if we can get them all in the same place at the same time, are going to do like a 20-minute podcast talking about it and put it up on the Edgington Post and the Freedom Fiends. And, then we're going to make one audio CD of it and mail it to the highest funder who makes this possible. So go ahead and read my description. This is on the upcoming, if Kickstarter approves it. The other thing was, I wanted to absolutely obey all the Kickstarter rules and see if they refuse to fund this, because then Mark on Free Talk Live and us on the Freedom Fiends are going to make a big stink out of it about how they do get, you know, they do quash free speech, and we'll fund it privately with PayPal and Bitcoin and probably make more money than we would have quicker on Kickstarter.
So let's clean up the project first beyond the origin story. Mm-hmm. Basically, what the Kickstarter is you're going to donate money if you so choose, and we're going to create audio ads for Mark Edge's Bearcat buyback.
Just go ahead and read it.
Well, read the thing or
read
the risks?
Read the thing I just sent you from where the gumbo, from where it starts. It's the whole thing. It's the whole Kickstarter thing. It's not very long.
Oh, it's the whole thing.
Yeah, it's the description and it's the risks. You have to say what the risks are to anyone funding. So just read it. I want to hear this in your voice. That's the whole thing I look forward to this day, today, all day. While we started really late and it's late at night and we're doing this podcast, I wanted to hear Nima's radio voice reading my Kickstarter thing. That's the whole point of this.
Oh, you're so sweet, Michael.
Yes, my whole point of this
is wants to buy back your Bearcat cop tanks. Militarized police vehicles, quote, Bearcats, are weapons of war and have no place in our streets. Inspired by gun, quote, buyback programs, Mark Edge of Free Talk Live radio show has the great idea to do a Bearcat buyback. He has stated that he will give a $5 Walmart gift certificate to anyone who brings him a Bearcat. We at the Freedom Fiends radio show want to publicize this excellent program and are raising money to do so. Where will the money go? $200 will be divided up to go to Kickstarter and Amazon overhead to create a professional quality 30-second public service announcement radio ad to postage for mailing out rewards, and also assorted project overhead of the creator. $500 will go to Gravity Bongs.
No,
$500 will go to the Liberty Radio Network for buying ad time to play the public service announcement radio ad, and $245 will go to buying ad time to play the public service announcement radio ad on the Bad Quaker podcast. Also, $5 will go to buying a second Walmart gift card so that Mark Edge can offer to buy back two Bearcats. Yes, not just one, but two Bearcats. The Bearcat must be legally obtained. Don't steal. The government hates competition. So, help prevent tyranny one Bearcat at a time. Kickstarter democracy style. Yeah. All right. So, you don't think they're going to approve it because of the risks, which we have yet to read. Is that right?
Yeah.
You think that's going to scare them away? All right. Let's find out.
We'll see.
We'll let the people judge. You see, you're kind of touchy. So, sometimes you are more worried about people having it out for you.
No, but the thing is, Kickstarter has a well-documented record of rejecting some, but not all, projects that don't violate any of their terms of service, but they just don't like. They'll just, and they don't give an explanation.
Right, right. Yeah, they tend to favor lefty projects. But wasn't there another Kickstarter type website that was even worse about it, like Indiegogo or something like that?
That's
that even
that's,
more.
I think both of them kicked off Cody Wilson, but least one of them did. But
well, we'll see if we get kicked off.
You can't do anything about guns that. You know, you can't do a gun thing with whatever one he got kicked off of. He violated the terms of service. My thing, I read the terms of service really carefully. It does not violate the terms of service in any way.
Well, here are the risks, according to the Kickstarter project, according to Michael Dean. The way things are going, we might get illegally arrested or even droned for free speech. That could probably also happen to people who fund this, considering the U.S. government has decided that, quote, due process is the two lobes of Eric Holder's brain talking to each other, and Presidents George W. Bush and Obama have basically decided they can violate the Bill of Rights whenever they feel like it. And Obama has ordered or has droned an American kid for simply being the son of someone Obama didn't like. Fund this at your own risk, and only if you believe in free speech, and you know that good old-fashioned street theater and performance art should still be covered by the First Amendment of the Constitution of the United States. And remember, your elected officials swear an oath to uphold that Constitution, but that never means squat after they're elected. The state can only exist with your consent, and all states operate with the threat of violence against their citizens or subjects, even if they're peaceful, like Mark Edge and Michael Dean.
Yeah. Worms. That's Worms. My Kickstarter
Good show,
campaign.
Michael.
Yep.
That's the best Kickstarter campaign yet.
Possibly.
It's got everything.
Yeah.
It's got drama. It's got humor. It's got nice tongue-in-cheek descriptions of ending the state, or at least sticking it to the man. I dig it, man.
It appeals to both the minarchist, the anarchist, the right-winger, and the left-winger.
Yeah. I think it's got everything. I think you really outdid yourself.
All it's missing is a Bible quote. I should add, muzzle not the ox that treadeth on the corn.
Yes, you've been looking for a place to insert that.
Yeah,
that was a
Ben's
a
Quaker
place.
Term. Yeah, told me that one, man. It's great. I love it. It basically means reward those who do the work.
Yes.
Yep. And I'm going to reward me by going to the market here with Nima, and we'll be back in a minute.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends, and like you, I'm concerned with privacy on the internet. The electronic police state is strangling our previous protections, and the central scrutinizer is trying to squint into all areas of our lives. That's why smart people surf the net with a VPN or virtual private network. I use a VPN from Bola VPN. Bola VPN has your utmost security in mind and will allow you to surf, email, and do other computing tasks without leaving a trail of breadcrumbs across the internet. Unlike many other VPN providers, Bola VPN doesn't log traffic. With Bola VPN, you can change your apparent location or disappear completely. Bola VPN has been around since 2007, which is OG in the VPN world. Bola VPN is easy to install and configure. Best of all, it can be had for less than 25 cents a day, which is a small price to pay for this much security. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them through the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.
Howdy, I'm Ben Stone from the Bad Quaker Podcast. I'll teach you the difference between the government and the state, why the government is nothing without the state, and how to dissolve the state while remaining peaceful and even calm. I knew the state was a losing proposition decades before that was cool. Check out the Bad Quaker Podcast at badquaker.com. We have a forum, and it's got gardening tips. That's BADQUAKER.com.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty Projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiend's message worldwide to as many Liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
So we're back from the market, and from about a half hour of printer heck.
Setting up a printer, yes. After 13 hours today of setting up other people's hardware, Michael has me come home and set up my own hardware.
I'd look at it more like you get to set up your own hardware after having to set up other people's hardware.
I'm just being an ungrateful prick. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I know. But, I know. It's like what? Like your gift. Your gift not only come. It's not only a gift. It comes with free. Forced tech support, and you're like, I don't feel like doing that. And I'm like, you won't do it by this weekend if I don't do it now. And I said, I'd rather do a 45 or 60 minute show than a 90 and do it and get it set than not do it. So I had to go downstairs with a laptop to dig out my scanner in the basement that I never used to scan my show clock. And send it to you. Well, no, I had to walk. It was horrible. I had to walk 20 yards uphill and down to do this podcast.
But hey, here's the thing. Printers suck. Most printers suck. This one I thought was going to suck because I went to do the test and it didn't work. There was paper jam for the first two times.
You didn't listen to my full instructions because I got you the printer I have. Actually, the updated version, it's better, but it's the same model. When I buy people electronics, I like to buy them the same thing I have for two reasons. One, because I know it's good and that's why it's what I have. And two, if they need troubleshooting, I can help them do it because I know everything about this printer. And one of the things I know is that even though it comes with a installed printer cartridge, you have to take it out and pull off the little plastic tab and then put it back in. So, yeah.
Well, I was reading the American hieroglyphic instructions. And it told you to pull out a few things. I thought I pulled out everything, but apparently there was a little piece of plastic I didn't pull out.
That said remove on it, but it wasn't in the
same
instructions.
Color.
Well, yeah, and see, if I had written the manual for this, which I should be paid a lot of money to write every manual, or at least troubleshoot it and be the tech editor, as they say, on the manual, as I've done before for a living.
The tech-editor.
Yeah, tech-editor. Then I would have definitely said that, man. Oh, my God, I went to Amazon, and on the front page it says President Obama the Kindle singles review. Ew, is he rapping now? Oh, it's the Kindle. Is it the Kindle
singles?
Shingles. Like, it's the shingles interview.
No.
Oh, it's
no,
interviews.
No.
Ew.
Yes.
Oh, and it's free.
Kindle
it's
singles
free.
Are like little short
it's
nuggets.
Free.
They're usually free.
It's
yeah.
free. Oh, I thought it's because it's the president and they want to make everyone listen.
No,
to him.
No. It's like it's a Kindle thing.
whoever thought
it's
that
it's little short bits for you to ingest.
That what's the video screen in 1984 that would turn out to
the
be a
telescreen?
That instead of something that you have to have in your home, it's something you'd stand in line to get. It's the Kindle, man.
Yeah. All right, so I'm gonna attempt to print this for the first time.
This, yeah, excellent. Here, I'll do some music for it.
Oh, hold on.
Hang on, let me do some music get you going.
Save the file.
Here's some music for you. Some good testing the printer music.
Dude. I don't think I know how to print. It's not working.
Really? What are you trying to do?
Print
Take the picture I sent you. Are you viewing the picture I sent you?
I was viewing it with Google, and then I tried to print it.
No, save it to the desktop. Save it to the desktop.
All right. I'm downloading it.
I feel like I'm talking to my grandpa, man. All right. And you did tech support for a living.
Who prints things anymore, man?
Printers. Okay. Writers. People with thoughts. People who do things and produce things.
They publish them on the World Wide Web, Michael.
Well, Alex Jones probably had one of his eight computer screens is probably his show clock. Although he's probably memorized it by now after doing like 20,000 shows. But
okay.
He's probably got a chip implant of an atomic clock. All right.
Okay. It's warming up.
Do to do do.
It's doing its thing.
Do to do 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 do.
Oh, do you hear it? Shh.
Yeah. Ooh, sexy. Nima's printing.
Hear it?
Yeah, you know what this episode's gonna be called? It's gonna be called "The Dog Ate My Show Clock." See, people,
oh, man, everyone that looks beautiful.
Everyone out there listening to the Freedom Fiends, you should donate Because this is what I have to do and put up with in addition to like the 40 or 60 hours a week I do of Fiends. All right.
Dude, so. Your the scanned version of the show clock is beautiful. Your Sharpie, it looks like real Sharpie. It looks like you wrote
being sarcastic?
On my show clock. No, I'm
really?
Serious.
Well, this I did scan it. I scanned it 300 DPI and sent you like a 3 megabyte ping instead of just a little crappy JPEG. But yeah, it's a good scanner. It's a good printer. It's a good Sharpie, man. It's horrible handwriting. Can you read my handwriting?
Dude, it's better than mine.
Well, I guess so.
It's
so,
better than mine, and it's like to the nth degree better than my dad's. And well, I can almost read my dad's. So it, yeah, it's legible.
Your dad's looks like Farsi even when it's English?
I don't know. That's it looks like racist. Some language twins teach each other.
What is that from? That's from something.
Yeah, it's the guy who plays Shrek. Oh, Michael. Oh, he was also Austin Powers. What's his name? He's really famous.
He plays Shrek. Shrek plays Shrek.
No, Shrek is voiced by a voice actor who used to be on SNL. He also did Dieter. And Wayne and Wayne's World.
I thought Shrek was a basketball player.
No, Shrek is a green.
Oh, the green zombie thing. I thought that was voiced by some basketball player. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. No, not Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Who's the one that has AIDS?
Voiced by a Scottish basketball player. Who's the one that has AIDS? So many of them. Shaquille. No.
Yeah.
Man, we're so bad with names. No, Magic
Mike
Johnson
Myers, man.
AIDS.
You're talking about Mike Myers.
Michael Myers. That's what I'm saying.
No, Michael Myers. Mike Myers
was
is
Halloween.
The guy. Myers is the monster in Halloween. Mike Myers is the actor that played. I mean, Mike Myers is the guy who's well known for his line, "Get in my belly."
Yes. As Fat Bastard in Austin Powers
and Wayne's World.
I'm just not on my name game tonight.
And Wayne's World, where they take over the world by hacking satellites. You know, I heard a program director use the term "bird" to describe a satellite the other day, and that was so cool. I'd never heard that. He was like, "Okay, tell me about your show. Okay, sounds interesting. How is it delivered? Is it on one of the big birds?" And I was like, "Yeah, XDS." And he's like, "Ah, oh, cool, XDS. Yeah, we have that." And I was like, "Bird." And I said that to Ben Stone. And Ben was like, "Yeah, you know, come to think of it, that's what they called them back in GE like 20 years ago." So birds, man. Wow. Birds. Do you know there are over 2,400 satellites around Earth?
Did not know that.
Yeah, that's a lot. It's kind of scary. They don't always burn up before they hit. So what are you doing? Are you
I'm tacking the show clock up to the PVC pipe above my desk.
Is it out of the reach of the dog?
Yes, everything's supposed. I set up the cage to where everything's supposed to be out of the reach. Somebody left a suitcase in front of him. It's probably me, but I'm going to blame mystery person.
Okay, so
I made sure there was no suitcases in front of his cage when he
put
them up.
So back to the show. There's three more things I want to talk about. One is I want to finish, since we have limited time. It depends on you. I want to finish the Kickstarter thing, which hasn't been approved yet. It takes a few days, but now I had to complete a Kickstarter application to be able to beg on their cork board, their virtual cork board. You have to fill out an Amazon payments account, which is different than like all the other accounts I have with Amazon that I get money from, but. It was like the most intrusive thing I've ever done except getting a mortgage. I mean, literally, it took me an hour and okay, they needed my name, my address, my home address. I tried using my PO box. They wouldn't let me. It kicked it back. So my home address, my social security number, my bank routing number and account number, like basically what someone would need to siphon all your money out of your account. Although I use the Fiends account, which isn't tied to any other accounts and doesn't have, I think it has $10.90 in it right now. But donate. Oh, we do take Bitcoin again now, and I'm going to give Nima the password this time after this show.
Yeah.
So,
because he's so responsible.
Yeah. Let me send it to you right now. Over, and you can put it somewhere.
Yes.
There's something else I need to share with you too.
I will try to put it somewhere the NSA can't get it, but I don't know if I've found a place like that.
Yeah.
Yet.
Yep. So, So where was I? So they also asked for I had to prove that. Oh, I had to get my driver's license number, my driver's license state. And I had to prove that I was me, and the way they had me prove I was me, this was really creepy, and you've encountered this before, but only when you applied for a job as a driver of armored cars.
I think that was it.
It sounds like the same thing.
Correctly. Yeah.
Basically, it said, have you ever been associated with any of these addresses? And there were four addresses, and I had to pick one. And it was like street number and street name, but not the city. And I was like, yeah. And I clicked one, and it did it again with another set of four, and again. And it did that with four different addresses. And one of the four on all of them was an address I've lived at, and some of them going back like 30 years. And one of them was like an address I lived at for 2 weeks and didn't get any mail at. And I don't think I filled anything out. I don't think I had a driver's license there. It was really fucking creepy, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, dude, addresses, I mean, it's not that weird. Our addresses, whenever you fill out a change of address, it goes out to everybody. Like, T-Mobile knows my new address before I've remembered it, you know, and I get the bills in the mail. So, I mean, what is the post office, right? And when we talked about this on the phone, I was like, you know, if there ever was a drone program in the domestic United States, it'd be a lot more surgical than it ends up being in Yemen or Afghanistan, yeah, where people probably don't have, underground bunker 2.0.
Because, you know, there they have to, like, follow you around and learn your where you are and everything. But here, they know where you are, and, you know, they know you're probably at work or at home or at the club you go to or at the grocery store you go to. And they could tell if you're at home just by looking at, like, your Netflix to see, yes, if you're streaming at that moment.
Are you streaming, you know, right now? Yeah.
Or if you've been streaming for more than three episodes and hit the yes, because maybe that's why Netflix put that in. You know, if you're watching episodes at one after the other of Bones, which is
after
mine,
like the third one, it asks, are you still watching Bones?
Yeah, and the first one you have to hit yes twice. After that, you only have to hit once every three times. I hate it because I sit in bed for hours trying to unwind from fighting the dragons of tyranny, you know, and I watch some nice, relaxing statist stuff. And Bones is my new favorite because I'm so sick of statist victims, law unit squad stories. I like Bones because the character Bones, she's not very likable, but I agree with her on a lot of things. She hates children. She doesn't want to reproduce. Just her attitude about everything is very similar to mine, except the fact that she works for the state. Yeah.
Well, isn't the dude in Bones the dude who played Angel in, yes, Buffy the Vampire Slayer?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I know the dude who wrote who did Buffy. I mean, isn't he like – he also did Firefly and Serenity. Yeah.
He's a libertarian. Whedon. Yeah.
Yes, and people tend to love him. In one of the comics on Big Head Press, instead of Shakespeare in the park in the future, they have Whedon in the park.
You know, in this show, too, there's a bunch of characters that were later in actors that were later in Breaking Bad. There's Jesse, a young, cute, really, really young Jesse, like 25 or 24.
I thought you didn't like
kids. Hey, he's legal. Okay. And then the coolest one is the guy that plays Gus Fring, plays like the owner of a voodoo store in New Orleans, and he's so
nice.
Creepy.
He's, yes, so creepy,
but yeah, he's creepy in this role. And he has like really similar mannerisms, and he has an accent, but it's a different accent. It's like a Jamaican accent instead of a what South American country is Gus from? He's from wherever Pinochet was from.
Chile.
Yes.
Is he?
Yep.
I don't remember that. Okay.
Yeah, because there's a whole thing of like, when the DEA guy is trying to figure out whether or not he's, you know, Heisenberg, which is his theory, and no one at the DEA believes him, he does a Homeland Security background check on him and finds, like, before, you know, like 12 years ago, he doesn't exist. And his excuse, you know, he's like, well, we know you emigrated from Chile to Mexico, and then you lived in Mexico for 10 years, and then you came to America 10 years ago, and like, you know, but 21 years before that, like, you didn't exist. And it turns out, his excuse is, you know, General Pinochet had many, many human rights abuses, but one of the lesser known factions of his leadership was that public record keeping was very poor. And that's a very believable answer. Like, during a military dictatorship, like, the last thing on the mind is, you know, well, now it would be the first thing on their mind, keeping track of everyone. But back then,
a failed dictatorship.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. But, you know, I don't know if you caught this, but there's actually, you've seen Breaking Bad up to what's current, right? You've seen the half of the season five?
No, I haven't seen any of season five.
Okay. Well, Even up,
I'm too enthralled with Orange is the New Black. Yeah, which is why I got cranky at you earlier because it started an episode.
It's over. But
not for me. Well, I still got like two episodes left.
Well, the thing is, even you've seen up to season five, though, like through season four of Breaking Bad. I don't know if you caught this. I didn't catch it till the fifth or sixth time I watched through all of the episodes.
Wow.
But there's an implication that Gus Fring was like a high up member in Pinochet's tyrannical government. Because that Mexican cartel guy calls him colonel at one point.
Mm-hmm.
Or something like that, or well, general. He calls him general, I think.
Yeah,
but and it doesn't sound like you know
because you could take it as just slang between cartel guys,
right? Yeah. But no, I think he calls him colonel, and that's not really a cartel delineation. General,
but he
might
also
be.
Owns a chicken shop. So
colonel, that's racist. That's foodist, man.
That's foodist.
Okay,
yeah.
So colonel? I guess we talked about one thing I wanted to talk about, which was what a fucking intrusive thing Kickstarter is, and I really just. Man, did I really do that? Like five times during the hour it took me to do that, I considered like, I'm not going to do this. But my little buddies in the playground, Mark Edge and Ian Freeman, were goading me on. So I finished it.
I'm glad they did because it's hilarious.
Yeah. It's a good cross promotion between, you know, for Liberty and between Free Talk Live, the Freedom Fiends and Ben Stone and Liberty Radio Network. And the reason we picked the money to go to Liberty Radio Network and Ben Stone is it's not me or Mark. You know, Liberty Radio Network is Ian's thing. It plays all of us, but business-wise, it doesn't have a connection with any of us. So, I mean, you know, money-wise. So there's no implication of anybody's putting anything in their pocket except $200 comes off the top, and, you know, some of that goes to the fees that Kickstarter and Amazon will charge, and then some of it will go to making one CD and mailing it to somebody, which that's a few bucks. And, you know, to... Basically, the rest is going to go in my pocket, and I'm going to have earned it, and you know, be producing, a, you know, doing a 30-second commercial, writing it, and producing it. Maybe I'll pay you like $10 to do the music for it or something.
Yeah, I'd be down bucks. For helping to voice it too. Or
yeah, you have a better radio. I was thinking DJ though, because I really think if they're like, you know, if you want to like spread something that's noble, I think you use a good woman's voice. A good woman. She's a good woman. Yeah,
she is indeed. Okay. Okay.
Yeah,
I'll help out. Cool. I'm much more amenable to helping out for creative stuff rather than setting up printers.
Yeah. Well, that's
no. But now that I've got my printer set up, I totally want to print other things.
Yeah, you should. You should do it while we're doing the show, man. I think.
Yeah. Maybe I'll print out a picture of Gustavo Fring.
I think you should print that picture of him like at the end where his face is blown up and his tie is tied.
Face off.
I have that somewhere. Yeah. But
On the wiki page it says first appearance Mandala, last appearance face off.
Who's Mandala? Oh, his first appearance. Yeah, okay. I got you. Yeah. So the second thing I want to talk about is the Westboro Baptist Church. Did you hear about this? About their gaying? Their gaying?
They're gaying?
Yeah, okay. I'm sending you three pictures right now.
Are they all getting gay? Is this like that South Park episode where prevent the Goobacks from coming back in time, they all get gay together?
Look at these three pictures I sent you.
Okay.
Basically, this is some insanely, like, whoa, is that too far street theater. There is a...
Dude.
Yeah. That's the reaction I was looking for. All right. Let me send you... Okay, that is the grave of the mother of the guy who runs the Westboro Baptist Church. I want you to read this article I just sent you on ChristianPost.com. The guy who, the unfortunately named Leonardo Blair. That's a weird name for a Christian. Sounds like Linda Blair's satanic brother, but go ahead and read. This is a church and ministry site. I like their coverage of this best. Go ahead and read this.
Okay.
They used a pretty tame picture from it, but... Why don't you first just describe the three pictures I just sent you?
Am I allowed to do that?
Yeah. It's a podcast, man.
Oh, right.
I love making you blush on the air, man. I live for it.
So the first one is a dude who is teabagging the top of a grave.
What is... I don't know what that is, Nima. Please explain that.
He's got his head and shaft in his hand mostly,
his penis and his testicles.
He's letting his sack hang, and the sack is, you know, gently branded, brushing, gently brushing the top
caressing.
Of the grave.
Caressing.
Yeah. Yes, yes. Like a tea
broad
bag.
Daylight. No, broad daylight. Broad daylight, man.
Yes, yes. He's steeping his gay sack on this this poor old lady's grave.
Keep going. Oh,
man. I don't know if I want to talk about this. Yeah, that's kind of disturbing. Maybe it'll end up being hilarious. Okay, so the next one is two dudes, like, totally kissing and Satan above them. Okay, I guess I kind of get where they're going with this. I thought it was just some rant. I thought he was saying the Westboro dudes were getting gay. But I think these are dudes who are, like, protesting with their gayness. Oh, so that's not too bad. But yeah, they're protesting with their gayness.
Yeah.
So the third one, it's two chicks totally making out, and I'm guessing that's Satan rubbing their heads together.
It's a guy dressed as Satan, but it's and they're doing it on this poor old dead woman's grave who died in 1935. So read this Christian article about this.
Okay. So this is from Church in Ministry on ChristianPost.com by Leonardo Blair.
Linda Blair's satanic brother.
Yeah, there you go. Headline, Satanists perform ritual on grave of dead mom of Westboro Baptist Church founder to make her gay.
A pink mass.
I didn't even think that was going to be a joke headline, but wow, to make her gay, that's the clincher. So the Satanic Temple has confirmed that it recently performed a pink mass ritual on the grave of the mother of Westboro Baptist Church founder Fred Phelps Jr. To make her spirit gay and threaten to gay more of his dead relatives if his church continues picketing funerals or prays terrorist actions. Quote, the Satanic Temple now believes that Fred Phelps must believe that his mother is now gay in the afterlife due to our pink mass, and nobody can challenge our right to our beliefs, said Satanic Temple spokesman Lucian Graves.
I think he's paraphrasing the Westboro Baptist Church with and nobody can challenge our right to our beliefs.
Yes, who also performed the ceremony in a release. The New York City-based group is also trying to raise $15,000 on Indiegogo in the next 19 days to adopt a highway where they hope to promote their temple while keeping the road clean. Now that is street theater.
That's been done, man. The KKK did that 30 years ago.
No. Not that. The gang of the grave.
Yes. The KKK did not do that. The KKK actually not. I just found out, I was reading the article about an article about when John Lennon said that the Beatles were bigger than Jesus. And that was people threatened them and like picketed their concerts, and the KKK picketed their concerts in Memphis. I was blown away by that. And he didn't say it like, yeah, we're better than Jesus. It was taken out of context. He'd said it 5 months earlier in like a London newspaper.
He said it like more people have a Beatles album in their home than people Bible. Who have a Bible in their home.
He was, and it was a response to a question about their popularity and the waning popularity, or a question about, it was a question about the waning popularity of Christianity. And the thing was, a lot of ministers agreed with him and said, like, unfortunately, that's true, and we have to find way to reach young people
is the appropriate response for a Christian minister, I would think.
Yeah. So anyway, if you don't know the Westboro Baptist Church, if you don't know, you've been living under a grave. They're this church or so-called church in Westboro, Tennessee. Where is it? Kansas? Oklahoma? Let's look it up because I don't want to insult anybody.
I'm sure there's multiple Westboros. Yeah,
but the Westboro
country,
Baptist Church is only one place. They are a church.
I'm saying be specific.
They're run by what I would consider a crazy person. It's a guy who basically, this church pickets the funerals of gay people and screams like, you know, you're going to go in hell because you're gay. Like, think about how upsetting that is to the relatives.
Don't they also picket dead veterans?
Yeah.
Because they say that the terrorists, God is sicking the terrorist on us because America is so pro-gay.
Yeah. And because now they say it's because the army allows gays. Yep. And
Westboro
Baptist
Church.
They're in Kansas. They're in Topeka, Kansas. Topeka, Kansas. They also threaten to do that at the funeral of victims of the recent Boston terrorist bombing. And that was kind of the final straw with a lot of people. And I think that actually these Satanists picked a good time to do this because they might actually have normal people who say this goes too far saying, yeah, this, I wouldn't do it, but I can't say anything bad about it because they're going to pick at the Boston victims. So I think, what do you think about this? DJ said she thought, I said, too soon, and she thought, she went, yeah. I'm like, the lady died in 1935, and she's like, it's still too soon. It's like, it's not appropriate. Family should be off limits. But here's the thing. I don't think it's the family. It's an inanimate object, man.
Yeah, yeah. I guess it's probably not going to make the mom mad because she's not there to be made mad.
No, she's gay now. She's happy now.
It'll make Fred Phelps mad, and he's still alive. Now, yeah, but I do find it distasteful that, you know, we don't know if his mom supported this whole Westboro Baptist Church thing, do we? I mean, I guess if they did, then
see,
maybe
I think once someone's,
game.
I think this is what I want to get into this whole thing. I have ideas that I want to present and frame, and this is just my intro to it. Really, this was just kind of a diversion of shiny things of look over here while I do the magic over here.
At this nutsack. That's what it was. It was look at this nutsack. Now here's what I want to talk about.
I want to talk about burial and legal rights of a grave and the immortal soul. So how many minutes we got left? And then I have another topic about that, which is Minor Threat freaking out about unauthorized t-shirts.
Well, I'm having fun, so let's play.
Okay.
What do you got?
I know, before, when we were trying to set up the printer, you're like, I only have so much time. You're cutting into our showtime. And now that you printed, like, the best thing you've ever printed in your life, and we're having fun talking about nutsacks and Satan and immortal souls.
Right. Nutsacks, cool, yeah. Yeah, nutsacks and Satan.
First of all, I think that this is a really nobody has been able to reach the Westboro Baptist Church and piss them off like they probably deserve to be pissed off for the amount of grief. I would say they're terrorists in the sense that they want to terrorize people and make them lose sleep and make them upset. Because why else would you go to the funeral of soldiers and gay people and people, innocent people blown up by a street bomb and blame homosexuality on it? That's so upsetting.
They don't use the fear of violence or death.
Okay, they're
though.
Griefers.
I would make
they're
that
griefers.
Distinction. They're like horrible.
People, they're the worst
and
griefers
distasteful,
ever, man.
And I do not. I think people should shun them.
Yeah,
but
well, people have, but they just grow stronger.
They're better than the U.S. Army. Yeah.
What I'm asking? Do you think what these gay satanic activists did is a crime or would be a crime in Libpear?
Well, I'm sure they were trespassing.
That's about
that
what
would
I
be
think.
The crime.
Yeah, yeah. That's about what I think. I think that's the only crime here. And actually, most cemeteries are open to the public. I mean, they reserve the right. It's sort of a public-private thing of like they are private property. They have hours where they're open. It's like a store. They basically can throw you out at any time. You know?
Right. And I suppose if you, as the plot owner, wanted to keep your mother's grave from being teabagged, you could pay extra for a locked
an
fence.
Armed guard. An armed guard.
Or an armed guard. Right, right. Yes, or an electrical surge to tase your nuts if you tried to teabag it.
Yeah. I don't think there's any crime here other than that. And I also think, the answer to the problem of the Westboro Baptist Church really is, you know, every funeral is held, except maybe military funerals. Every funeral is generally at a place, you know, a funeral home and then the burial place are private property or they're military property where the government can let anyone in or kick them out if they want. Why do they have to let those people in there? I mean, make the funeral invite only, you know, and the invite is like, don't let these people in.
Right.
Problem solved.
That and don't give them any credence and beat them with the war of words and ideas. I mean, which they've already been beaten. Does anybody other than the members of that like look at them and think, oh yeah, great? I mean, they piss everybody off.
I don't even see this Christian magazine defending the Westboro Baptist Church anywhere in here.
Because not only do they piss off you know, your liberals and your gay supporters, but then they go and piss off all of the Christians who are military homers.
Yeah, I'm sure that most Christians are not fans of people who go to military funerals and scream, God killed you through terrorists because there's gay people in the world. Yeah.
I think we might need to go to the market and reboot a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
Ugh, I'm so sick of looking at Steve's wedding pics, and I'm all out of passive-aggressive comments. What else am I supposed to do at work all day?
Sick of stalking your ex on Facebook?
Yeah!
Are you all out of cute cats and autocorrect mishaps to lolat?
Duh!
Freedom Fiends to the rescue! The Fiends now have a blog. Read all about the latest tyranny today. Dream about lip pair. Laugh while Western civilization collapses. Just click on the cat icon to the right of FreedomFiends.com, Freedom Fiends blog. Read it!
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech is hate speech, guns and weed, buy sheep for sheep on sheep, and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists. It's only $10 for 5 buttons, including shipping. Go to FreedomFiends.com and click on the link at the top that says Buttons. When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of FreedomFiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the Fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's FreedomFiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
Nima. Fish going in those death places. Yes.
We are back.
Oh.
So okay. Here's what I wanted to say about death, if you want to put on the reverb and talk the God sound.
And he will smote thee.
There was no reverb.
Oh.
Smoke the. That's better.
Like that?
Yep.
Okay. Cool.
So here's my thing. What I want to get to was, first of all, I want to be cremated and it's in my will. And my wife wants to be cremated and it's in our will. And what we'd never talked about, and we talked about after reading about this article last night about the Westboro teabagging, was what we want done with the ashes. And I said, I would give, you know, if I outlived you and your kids were around, I'd probably give them each a third of your ashes and I'd keep a third. They could do what they want with their third and I would spread your third promptly and not keep it around. And she's like, and I was like, you know, I don't want her to give mine to anybody else. And I was like, you could keep them if you want in an urn. And she's like, no, I'd spread them promptly. And I said, I don't really want a burnt corpse in a box in my house. And she laughed and said, I don't either. I think that's really creepy.
Cremation creeps me out, though. That scene, spoiler alert here, cover your ears if you're still watching Orange is the New Black. But that scene where the girl ODs and then Porn Stash makes it look like she hung herself.
Yeah.
And the prison cremates the body without doing an autopsy or any kind of investigation. This is like, that wasn't her choice. They just burn the corpse, you know, nobody cares. That really creeped me out, man. And I do not want to be cremated. That's scary.
I think it's preferable to rotting.
I think rotting is preferable.
I think the real preferable thing for me, if I were going to rot, would be to not be embalmed and not put in a, you know, impermeable cask. I think I would want to be just thrown in a hole in the ground 6 feet under so I naturally go away. But that's illegal. That's illegal. You can't do that.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. In fact, a friend in Washington State said that that's how he came to liberty, was that's how he wanted to die. I mean, he was a young dude. He was like a teenager. But, you know, he was into death metal, so I guess he had thought about his death.
Of course.
And he wanted to just be, you know, back to earth the way you would in nature. You know, you're eaten by worms and you decay and you go back dust to dust, you know, exactly like it says in the Bible. And, you know, it blew my mind that that was illegal. But he said that that's what made me realize that the government is full of crap, because they won't even let that happen. They won't even let you choose what happens to your body at your death.
Yep. Everyone comes from a different reason. It's usually because something they feel passionately about is banned or regulated or controlled by the government. Right. Yep. And the more that they try to ban, regulate, and control everything, the more people will come to liberty. That's our theory. Yeah. You know, I used to take it further than that guy in a kind of tongue in cheek way. When I was a young rock and roller living fast and trying to die young, I used to say that, I just want to, wherever I drop, that's where I want to be left to rot. No matter where it is, no matter where I die, I want it in my will that you can't move me. You just gotta leave me there. Yeah. Yeah. If it's at the supermarket.
Well, there's that country song, prop me up beside the jukebox when I die.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what it reminds me of.
So
I still want to be shot up into a moon of Jupiter or Saturn to rot and create new life. Water.
I want to be part of the satellite that GCN's on. I want to be a fuel cell. Nah, because I don't like all the shows on there. I want to be a fuel cell for the next generation of Liberty shows that, you know how I kind of tugged on Ian Freeman's coattail and said, hey, help us get on radio,
Mister.
The guy that's going to do that to us in 5 years, or the guy that's going to do that to the guy who does us, four generations removed. I want to be a fuel cell in his satellite when they have private satellites, when there's no state and everyone just has their own little like cube micro satellite. They have micro satellites now. They're like a sick 8 inches by 8 inches by 8 inches. Here's what I wanted to get at. With my final ending of where I want to go with this whole Westboro thing is, I was thinking about Burial, and I was thinking about the abject selfishness of the thought of, I want to be buried and have a stone put up, and it should not be touched for eternity. Now, I understand property rights, and I understand, you know, you could buy some land and pay someone to administer it, but how long do you really, and I'm not even talking about moral rights or legal rights, but how long do you deserve to monopolize a chunk of a finite planet when there's new people born all the time? How long is my output on this earth going to be worthy of homesteading to where I still deserve a chunk of earth that cannot be disturbed? It reminds me of kings, of the Egyptians in pyramids.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, what was the whole point of pyramids? Yeah, exactly. I was going to bring that up. But yeah, you're right. I don't think your average person who has a headstone in a general cemetery thinks that it's going to be there forever. I mean, do they? I mean,
they think it's going to be there for at least 100 years or more. Because I know that, there's still graveyards from the Revolutionary War in Boston. And if you went and said, no, I want to put up my lemonade stand here, they'd probably shoot you with AR-15, with M-16s.
Well, there you go. The problem's the state then. As long as the state's not administering it and keeping your burial plot.
I'm sure there are people... Yeah. Who have great grandfathers that are dead 100 years. I mean, this woman was buried in 1935. That's a long time. That's almost, my dad was born not that much earlier than that, and he's 91. He was born in 1920,
but
29, something
like
that.
She's still got relatives that will probably come visit that.
Yeah.
Her son's still
alive. I guess I'm just thinking of in like thousands of year terms rather than hundreds of year terms. I guess I'm just saying, I don't want to do anything that's hubristic to the point of monopolizing a chunk of land and having people have to protect it for that long after I'm dead. I really feel like when I'm dead and get away from, I know you're trying to argue this of like, no, man, people have the right to, I don't give a fuck about people. I'm talking about me. Okay. I'm talking about
you.
My feelings at almost 50 years old of mortality, because you don't have those. You're 29 or 30. You don't have them. I'm probably more than halfway through my life, and I want to leave something. I want to leave, and we're doing it right now. This is a lot of what I'm doing is the art we do. And we do things that I set up because I have this desire to not be a great man and not be, but just to kind of like have my spark of my life. I was not even my personality, not my intelligence, but the spark that makes me human and an individual Michael W. Dean. I want that out there for 10, 20, 30, 40, 200, 300 years after I'm gone. But it doesn't involve monopolizing a chunk of earth. That is, and people who never accomplish anything want to do that and think they deserve that.
Okay.
I want my grave, I want my memorial to be a billion hard drives that have some of my art on them.
There you go.
And that's why I do things like set up the BitTorrent stuff and slave over doing things like that and figure out how to do that and figure out how to, you know, Hesperus told me there's some podcast he likes. I forget the name of it, but he says, have you ever heard of a podcast, not just pod fading, but disappearing overnight? Like their website's gone. Their RSS feed is gone. There was some podcast that he listened to a lot. And that happened, and he was just like freaked out. I mean, he was like, you know, if he said, if anything like this happened to the Fiends, I'd be either announcing that the balloon has gone up or packing for New Zealand. And I said, we'd never just drop off the map like that. If anything happened to Nima and or I, you and everyone would know the full story within a day. We have procedures in place, which is what you and I were just talking about in the break. And well, I was sending you things. And
we don't know if the full story would get out, but we'd make damn sure.
Put it this way. If the Fiends website ever disappeared permanently, you'd be able to find out pretty quickly. And if it was something done to us, you'd be hearing about it on Alex Jones and Free Talk Live and Ben Quaker and probably in Reason Magazine and a bunch of other places within a day or two. You'd know about it. It'd be news. We'd make it news.
Yeah.
We'd make it news if we were both dead or in prison or in Gitmo. Like, literally, we have a procedure in place with a bunch of people who would know what to do and how to get it out.
Yes. The continuity of Fiends. Yeah, we have that.
So that's all. I'm just saying that my grand pyramid for the millennia is not going to be made of stone and dirt. It's going to be made of pixels and bits and audio.
I think that's laudable. I mean, has anybody seen William Shakespeare's grave? I'm sure they have. I haven't seen it. But a hell of a lot more people have heard his words.
That's another thing.
Have seen his grave.
No, like Jim Morrison's grave was vandalized so much with graffiti and people going and having sex on it and, you know, doing things they thought would honor him that didn't honor his family and they were freaked out about, that they moved his body and grave to an undisclosed location. So that's another thing. Like, I don't think I'm the kind of great man that people think Jim Morrison is, that where people would come party on my grave. But I think there's a few people who'd come piss on my grave or put their nutsack on it. And I don't want that happening either. So, man, I'm going to be some dust on the street, man. Dust in the country.
That's for you. But there are people out there who have big families who love them. And for the family's sake, because it's not always selfish, but your five siblings might want to go visit your grave or my grave when I'm dead.
Well, you have to know that part of what I've set up with my will is to prevent my family from having anything to do with any memorializing of me.
Sure, but people have different relationships with their family than you.
It says in my will that there will not be a memorial. Now, if my family choose to go have one, I can't stop it, and I don't really care.
You will haunt them from beyond the grave.
No. But it actually says in my will and in DJ's will, we don't want a memorial, and, you know, the other spouse gets the remains, the cremated remains, because I don't want my family fighting over that. I don't want my family trying to make my wife go somewhere to have a memorial and tell her it's important. And if they do, she can just show them Michael's last wishes, like in writing, notarized by three people, and say, look, this is his legally binding wishes of the state, you know, as the state would recognize it, which will appeal to them.
The official term, I think, is actually cremains.
Yes, the cremains.
Not cremated remains, but cremains.
I like that word. It's so death clock, man. Cremains. Yeah. Do it with some reverb. Cremains. That was awesome. That was really, really awesome. Yeah, so I guess that's my full rant on why I say that he who dies with his art on the most hard drives wins.
Ah, well. It was a well put together rant. A well-ranted rant.
Yeah, and that's a phrase I came up with about 10 years ago or 12 years ago, and it pretty much sums the whole thing up. But while it would make a great name for today's episode, I think a better name for today's episode is The Dog Ate My Show Clock.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So one last bit of news I want to talk about here. Christian Sanger sent this to me, as you would call him.
Sanger.
So did you write down that Bitcoin password I sent you? I hope you did. Don't say that.
Well, I didn't write it with a pencil, but yes, it is saved.
You have a printer, man. You have a great printer. Best printer you've ever had. You should just start printing everything. Print every thought you have.
I am.
Your wife's going to come in, and it's going to look like that movie, A Beautiful Mind. You're going to have everything on the wall and tied together with strings.
Yeah.
All right. So read this article. Ian MacKay says Urban Outfitters minor threat t-shirts are legitimate.
Okay. Yeah, that's the headline. Hey, look, teens of America, you can buy a cool minor.
Yeah, I think we've lost Nima. Nima is gone. Is Nima
W-L.
There?
W-L.
We lost you there, Nima, for a minute.
Did you lose me?
Yeah.
We're still having issues. We're still having issues. Okay. So, hey, look, teens of America, you can buy a cool minor threat t-shirt for $28 at Urban Outfitters. Hear something? That's the sound of a 45-year-old punk rocker punching a wall. But wait just a second before you start groping for the lever of the old outrage machine. Turns out the t-shirt is not a bootleg like that Forever 21 design from 2009. It's licensed through T-Cert, a California-based company that Ian MacKay and company hired to produce.
Ian's 51, man. I was going to say, wait. Oh, the 45-year-old punching the wall is his fans, huh? Okay.
I think so.
Because I was going to say, Ian's a little older than me, I think. But go on.
Yeah. Yep. Discord doesn't make t-shirts, MacKay clarifies in a phone call. But Minor Threat is another story. Because so many bootlegged Minor Threat shirts are constantly floating around the universe, MacKay decided the band had to do something about it.
They're in orbit.
Sure, it's a minor threat floating around America. The solution, get another company to oversee their official shirts, and when a bootleg crops up, let them deal with it. Let them deal with it. It's fucking absurd the amount of bootlegs that are out there, MacKay says, and my time is better spent doing other things. Well, then why even give a crap? I mean, seriously. Seriously, guy. MacKay says it's not a political thing for me. He says, I just don't give a fuck about t-shirts.
I love this guy. I love Ian MacKay. Like, I don't always agree with him, but I just love his attitude about everything. And similar to mine. And I came out through the same thing, not as popular as him, but and was influenced by him. And he's in my movie. And I just love we haven't done a minor threat rant for a while. And he makes me giggle. He's so funny and so like, I don't give a fuck. I love that. How many people in bands say that? I don't give a fuck about t-shirts. He really means it too. He's I'd rather be producing my new record. You know, I don't care about shit like that. I don't give a fuck about t-shirts. So go on.
A Bad Brain shirt is on the website too, also for $28. Huh, that's kind of cool. All right. But, just because the shirt is licensed doesn't mean MacKay approves of the sweatshoppy clothing chain selling his band shirts. Though, quote, do I think it's absurd? Yes, I certainly do, he says. He also thinks the asking price is ridiculous, but he's more or less resigned to it. Motherfuckers pay $28. That's what they want to pay for their shirts. He compares the pricey t-shirts to people happily blowing their money on expensive shoes. Why do they do it? Quote, I guess it makes their feet feel fucking rich, he says. Oh, MacKay.
He's great.
Yeah.
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 First of all, I will say that the only real Minor Threat t-shirt is one you made yourself with a Sharpie before an actual Minor Threat show before they broke up in the 80s. That's the only real fucking Minor Threat t-shirt.
Why?
Cause, man, it's fucking punk. I don't know. I don't care. I'm just trying to sound fucking contrarian.
Spelling out Minor Threat with safety pins or something.
Spelling it wrong. You have to spell it wrong. M-I-N-E-R threat. Minor teat. M-I-N-E-R-T-E-A-T. Yeah.
Yes. Canary in the coal mine.
Yeah. I just love this guy's attitude, man. And also, you know, I mean, I can't really criticize anything here. I really can't. I think you found something you didn't like. What was it?
I don't know. Like, he did something about it. He's saying I don't give a fuck, but he did something about the bootleggers.
Well,
he gave a license to a company.
He sold the hassle to someone else. But I would definitely bet that company, now that they have something in writing from him, I'll bet they're using the force of law to go after people.
I know. I guess that's my beef with it.
Yeah.
And I guess he doesn't give a fuck, but I mean, if I didn't give a fuck, I guess make some damn t-shirts. I don't care.
He's almost an anarchist, almost a lefty anarchist, but not quite. Like, he's, you know, done things of get out the vote or whatever, but, or like really care. Like, we need to get Rumsfeld out, you know, and replace him with what? Like, the guy in charge of the war, you're going to find a hipper guy to be in charge of the wars.
Right.
You know, you're going to find like some peace loving hippie to be in charge of the wars. No, man, you got to go after the root. But he almost gets it. And He's just, he's funny, man. I love his attitude about shit. I really do.
I just don't give a fuck. I mean, wasn't that Snoop Dogg's thing? I guess Snoop Dogg came after Minor Threat, but yeah,
in
man.
Time. They, I thought you meant they came after them legally. No, he came after time.
In time, oh, yeah. Yes. Chronologically.
We'll see, by how old is Snoop Dogg? Ian MacKay is 51.
Well, Snoop Dogg hit the scene, in, I think, in 92.
How old was he?
He was like 18 or 19 when he started.
Yeah, Ian MacKay was like 15 when he Minor Threat. They started really young. They were all teenagers.
Nice.
Snoop Dogg's 41. Okay. He's 10 years younger. Ian MacKay. When did Minor Threat start, man? Well, he was in bands before that too. So he was born in. Let's see, Minor Threat started in 1980, and he's born in 62, 72. Eight, so he was 18. In Minor Threat, but he was in a couple bands before that, man. In 79, the Slinkies. So, yeah. All right. Yep. Oh, you know, this Sunday, I want to play. We're doing an interview for the first hour this Sunday, but first half hour, but I want to play on the show this Sunday my cover with Ian MacKay of Long Black Veil, the Johnny Cash song, because Sunday's the day we're on a we're on two like really big country stations that for some reason okay. play us. And that's like the only talk show they play in Wyoming and South Dakota.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Sounds good to me.
Yeah. I don't know, man. Just Ian MacKay just makes me smile. And we haven't said anything about him in a while.
And that's our kicker.
It's kind of his version of, I think this is kind of his version of artists should worry more about obscurity than bootlegging. Because, okay, people have been bootlegging Minor Threat t-shirts since 1980, and he just got around to doing something about it, you know? That's kind of a, I don't give a fuck, but eventually, you know, I'll give a fuck, but how many years later?
I think it's 30, just that American Apparel or whatever, or Urban Outfitters
made him an offer he couldn't refuse.
Came to him and said, yeah, hey, we'll give you some money, and you don't have to do anything.
Well, like, the thing is, though... Yeah, maybe. I mean, he's the guy who has total integrity, though, who like turned down $1 million deals for his band Fugazi to sign him. But signing your band has a lot more control and expectation of monkeying with your art than just putting out an exact copy of a record cover that's been out for 33 years.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
33 years. So, is that right?
Yeah, it makes you feel old.
1980 was 33 years ago? Yeah, because it was right before you were.
You're talking about math. I thought, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I guess that's it, man, unless you got more. Oh, what I wanted to say, this is the last thing. I wanted to say, when you called me today for the first time on the phone, I answered the phone, free speech.
Oh, yeah.
And I didn't have time to explain it to you. I wanted to talk for just a second about how there's more free speech than ever. There's more tyranny than ever, like more widespread institutionalized tyranny in America. But there's more free speech. And Hesper has told me that he's been playing Bad Quaker episodes for his dad. I'm nice. Thinking it's probably like, you know, of all the liberty stuff, that would be a good thing to start with a dad, because he doesn't yell about testicles and Satanists and, you know, and he sounds really calm and like a wise person, and he's not a wise ass like us or like Free Talk Live. Mm-hmm. You know, Free Talk Live today was talking about poop in like kind of graphic terms. I was like, really? On radio? But but he's, you know, Ben Quaker would be a good person to introduce, you know, a dad to liberty. And he's been playing it for his dad, and his dad really likes it. But his dad said, and I quote, in my day, the feds would have come down on this guy like the hammer god, unquote. And that's true. I mean, throughout a lot of American history, and even well into, you know, the 20th century, the government was really, really cracking down on stuff like that. And you never could have said the stuff on radio that we say, or, you know, Alex Jones or Free Talk Live says, or even that Rush Limbaugh says. I mean, you could not have done that in the 60s. You know, you couldn't have, you could not have criticized the president in power the way that, like, even, you know, Hannity does on TV. They would throw you in, they'd throw you off the air. And then if you tried to keep doing it, they'd throw you in jail somehow. I mean, in the Vietnam War, they arrested two guys for sedition for picketing in front of a recruitment center. You know, they don't do that anymore. Now they would just, you know, well, if you picket in front of a recruiting center now,
they'd cage you in a free
speech
zone.
They'd come up, like two Marines would drive up in a Jeep and say, I'm sorry, sir, you're going to have to come with me. And they'd call you sir, and they'd be really polite, and they'd drive you a half mile away and put you behind a barricade and then say, here you go, sir. And they'd, like, you'd be speaking to the pigeons, you know?
Oh, yeah. All this right. This bad brain shirt's pretty badass, though.
What is it?
It's probably an album cover. I don't know that much about the Bad Brains.
Oh, is it the Capitol building getting struck by lightning?
Getting struck by lightning.
Yeah, that was their record cover. And, you know, they were from D.C., and that was their record cover, and it's the Rasta colors, you know, the is that that's not the Jamaican flag. That's the Haile Selassie. What country is that flag?
Ethiopia.
Yeah, it's the Ethiopian flag colors. Yeah, that is a badass shirt, man. No, man, the Jamaican flag, I looked it up. It's two colors, and it's kind of, it's like it's green and black.
Oh, okay. Well, there's green and black here.
Yeah.
There's just also red and yellow.
Yeah.
But the model for the Bad Brain shirt is black. That's racist.
No, it's showing it's the hip thing.
Fiends out.
Yep.
Worms. Okay.
Bye.
Want to contribute to Liberty but short on cash? You can help the Freedom Fiends without even spending a post-1964 dime. Download uTorrent and start seeding Fiends episodes and DVDs to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. There you'll find our Torrent RSS feed and instructions to grab past episodes and automatically download new ones, even while you're away from the computer. You'll also get special episodes of The Fiends days or even weeks before regular podcast subscribers who aren't torrenting. Leave your computer on, seeding the torrents while you're at work or asleep. The more people seeding The Fiends, the more drone-proof we'll be when the boot comes down.
Hello, Freedom Fiends. It's your boy Dean from the U.S. Get the U.S. out my bloodstream. I owe me and that include endorphins. No one won't ask permission and I won't say please. Freedom fans.
The Freedom Fiends podcast is covered by a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license. Do what you want with it and spread it around. Tell two friends. Make copies. Email it to everyone you know. Go on the site and comment. This is a conversation. Three times a week, Michael W. Dean and Nima Vedati share their own unique take on the way the world works and how to find your place in it. Available from freedomfiends.com. That's freedomfiends.com. Subscribe and tell two friends.
And remember, the only power they have is the power you allow them. We're not saying the Freedom Fiends are the one true path to anarchist liberation, but it's a good one. If you want to put your voluntarist money where your mouth is, consider making a donation to the Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post. Then make a one-time gift via PayPal or set up a monthly contribution of as little as $3. Giving to the Freedom Fiends helps advance education of horizontal liberation throughout the world. The Freedom Fiends. We work hard, so send us some money.